You may be seated if you're not already. Well, this morning I am very glad to welcome for all of us a man that we all know and love. For those of you who might not know, Reverend Ben Thompson used to be the pastor right here at Fairview Avenue. And we're always glad to have him back. So I give you now the man who's going to deliver the absolute best sermon you've ever heard on how to win friends, Pastor Ben. No pressure.
Thanks. Yeah, no pressure now. When she said about introducing a man we all know and love, I was pretty certain she was talking about Doug. I'll take it, though. I'll take all the good comments I can get. Thank you. What a pleasure it is for us to be here today, Jill and I both. So good to be back with you again. Get to see some of you out and around town, but it's good to see you again, and what a special chance. Hi. It's so nice to see the Millers with us today. I don't know if you knew they were coming. I didn't know they were coming, but Doug and Barb are here. Would you like to greet everybody? Have you done that already? We want to give honor to whom honor is due.
Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom, and it just feels free, like family, to be back here with you. And so thank you for your love and your prayers and your support. So faithful. What is your secret that you just hang in there and keep on keeping on? What is your secret? I'll get back to that in just a second. What is your secret? What is your secret? Okay. We just want to praise the Lord. One big praise to share is that there's a new family coming to join us as team members, Estelle and Kristen Bathurst, and their five families later this year. They're five children. They're five families. Exactly. Why not? So we thank the Lord for that. We have a co-worker, Modelizzo, and he's continuing to be just a tremendous help with the ministry and carrying a lot of the load. He's fat. Faithful, available, teachable. He's such a sponge. In fact, he's even taken on running. Can you believe that? He said, I think I've got the running bug. And he's almost ready to run a marathon, I think. He's part of a group of guys, we call ourselves the Mangochi Machines. An Australian and his son and a Californian and a couple of Malawians. But anyway, but the big praise is this new family that's coming. Malito himself and his wife Ethel are moving into the old BIC village home in Palume, where Todd and we lived way back in the day. He should be moving there this coming week. Yesterday, I think it was, that he and some others in our missionary community went out to the house to prayer walk around it and dedicate the property back to God. So we're excited that they'll have a better home situation for them there. And Barb has some praises that she wants to share about our family, and that's why we're back for just family vacation, and so she'll share about that.
We have two new grandchildren that we came to see. Sarah gave birth to a little boy they named Lewis in March. And just this past Wednesday, Susanna gave birth to David Elliott. So we're here at a really good time to welcome them into our family. Also, it's a little strategic, our being here, because Doug's dad is moving to a retirement community in about 2 weeks. And his sister is also moving, so we get to help a little bit in family that way.
And a prayer request, going back to the Bathurst family, is that God would provide a place for them that's secure, where they can have some space for their boys. They have four boys and a girl to play some soccer. That the Lord would just help us to find a good home for them to rent when they come. Housing is a little bit of a premium where we are, to find just the right place that would be a little bit comfortable for a Westerner there in town. So pray for housing for Estelle and Kristen. And also for me, we've been using the New Tribe Missions chronological teaching for our material, and we have formatted and translated over 200 of those lessons, and we're almost finished with all of them. But one portion of scripture that I think has been missing is the Sermon on the Mount or Jesus' teachings. So we're going to wing it and work on lessons. I think one of the Sunday school classes is Jesus' Hard Teachings or something like that. So pray for me as we look at that, to put Jesus' teaching, just set it apart on his the values of kingdom living and loving your enemies, etc., etc. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But coming back to the secret, we're just thankful that our friends among the Muslim Yao there are learning not only that God has forgiven them and finding assurance of that forgiveness and salvation based totally on God's gift, undeserved, and through faith, but they're also learning the secret of the spirit-filled life and overcoming fear, standing up against enemies, forgiving those enemies, and overcoming difficulty and problems, which they have a few problems. In fact, after this last hurricane, most of the people are going to have terrible harvests. Some people had many damaged homes. But anyway, we're just grateful that they're learning that secret. And I just finished a course by Fander out of the UK. Jay Smith, one of our missionaries, was one of the lecturers, another, Paul Blackham. And teaching on just seeing Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. Another opportunity we had was to teach Mennonite brethren pastors, and one of their comments was, as we taught them in condensed form from creation to Christ, they've never seen Jesus in the Old Testament like they had during those seminars. And then Paul Blackham encouraged us on every page, even in the Old Testament, to find Christ. And that week I was reading Samson. And I thought, okay, Lord, what can you show me about Samson? Anyway, I learned a little bit about Samson and the secret of his success. It wasn't exactly his long hair, something maybe his long hair symbolized. But anyway, do you have the secret? What is your secret? Do you know what that secret is? I'll just leave you with that question. But God's going to help us to be successful in his kingdom here and abroad. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Ben. Sorry for taking so long.
Thank you. Thank you both. Isn't it good to have people that you know are representing us well as they represent our Savior? Amen. So continue to pray for the gospel to go forth in power in Malawi and wherever we go, Waynesboro and sometimes even into the remote areas like Quincy and Mont Alto. And some people go, Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your grace. We thank you for your word today. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, change us from the inside out. Not just on the inside, Lord, we want to reflect your love and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's word is so powerful, alive, sharper than any two-edged sword because it cuts more than just the flesh. It can discern even the thoughts and intents of our heart. How many of us struggle with knowing what's in our own heart sometimes? Right? You kind of waver like, right? We're up one day, we're down the next, we're confident about this one day, and then we're not so confident the next. Four of us struggle with that from time to time. I've got a great teaching prepared for you today. But you shared some things that have been stirring in me about Mephibosheth. I'm going to go off script. How many of you have seen my script? You haven't? Good. Would you turn in the Old Testament? 2 Samuel chapter 4. Thank you, Doug. What was stirring in me, I said, Lord, you need to give me some kind of confirmation that it's for this time and not another time. So we'll thank Doug for the confirmation or blame it on him if it doesn't go well. Second Samuel chapter 4. When Ishbosheth, which is different than Mephibosheth, when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard about Abner's death at Hebron, he lost all courage. And all Israel became paralyzed with fear. Now listen, if you are a leader, and if you can hear me, you are a leader for someone. How we respond as leaders affects those around us. If we demonstrate fear, that fear can be contagious. We will all fear at one time or another. Courage is not the absence of fear, it's acting in the face of fear. If I do something and I'm not afraid, there's no courage involved. Okay? But how we are as leaders can affect and will affect those around us. We see that. Now, there were two brothers, Bainan and Rechab, and I think you should name your grandchildren that, Barb. Next time, can you suggest those type of names next time? Who were captains of Ishbosheth's raiding party. They were the sons of Rimmon, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. There's a good biblical name we should use more often, who lived in Beeroth. The town of Beeroth is now part of Benjamin's territory because the original people of Beeroth fled to Gittim, where they still live as foreigners. Now, this is a parenthetical statement, but I want us to get it today. Verse 4, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who may or may not have been a great cook. We do not know that. He may or may not have been a chef. I'm going to investigate that more after today. But he was crippled as a child. Here's how it happened. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him and he became crippled. I want to address something today that maybe some of you are dealing with. Certainly you will encounter people this week who are dealing with this. The idea of being crippled in our spirit. The idea of being crippled in our walk with God, being crippled in our confidence, being crippled in our view of who we are, why we're here, and what we do. That inability to live life as we had envisioned living life. Here's the story. Saul was the first king of Israel. We don't know anything about a king in our culture unless we've read about it. We've not experienced it. But in that time, in the cultures all around Israel, a king was in charge, and Israel wanted a king. That way they didn't have to just kind of trust the mystical side of someone else hearing from God. They could just follow a man. Finally, God said, okay. And so they had a king. His name was Saul, and Saul was a good king for a couple days. And then the humanity of Saul kind of rose up. Saul had a son. His name was Jonathan. Jonathan was a great guy who never, ever got to be king. Saul had a great friend, and that's a little bit of the tie-in, but not where we're going today. Saul had a great friend named, or Jonathan had a great friend named David. David started out as King Saul's friend because David was able to bring in, with the gift of music, under the anointing of God, be able to drive out the stuff that messed with Saul. But David was a mighty warrior, and all of us would love to be mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. David was. And so David, being the mighty warrior, got this great reward from Saul. He was given Saul's daughter in marriage, and Saul tried to kill him. Now listen, I understand any father-in-law wanting to kill the son-in-law. My daughter's 16, and I'm already envisioning things like that. I get that challenge. It's natural. We're not recording this, right? Because later, if something happened, I wouldn't want in 10 years some detective coming back. It was not under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Saul tried to kill David. Saul was worried about his throne and his lineage, because David had won a great battle for the Lord. And the people did what people do. They made David a hero. Saul has done a great job killing thousands, but David has killed 10,000s. And Saul, like we do, went, oh, I thought I was good, but now David's better, and I should be liked more, and people don't like me, and I'm not good enough. It's in the Amplified Bible. You can read those exact words almost. It's not in what you're reading now. But it was that idea, how the enemy used Saul's humanity to create this divide. And in that day and age, when you looked around, Saul had the right to kill anybody and everybody who got in his way, in the world's view. And David was in the way. And see, in the natural, what should the lineage be? After Saul was done reigning, who would be the next king? Jonathan. And after Jonathan was done reigning, who would be the next king? Mephibosheth. Exactly. Just sneeze with an M at the beginning, you'll be fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. Listen, if you're away from God today, this part may not connect with you, but those of us who've walked with God for a long time, we've heard enough sermons, we've heard enough missionaries, we've seen enough things to inspire us, to stir vision within us, that we have imagined ourselves doing great things for God. Being a warrior in God's army, being a king in God's command, being an impact player in the kingdom, a little bit about what we talked about this morning. Being an impact person, we understand the grandeur, and all of that is possible because of the anointing of God that can come upon anybody. And yet today I look around and there are still people in Waynesboro with whom we've not shared the gospel. I look around and I guess there are mornings that some of us may wake up and not want to get up. And I guess that there are mornings we don't feel like a warrior in God's army, we feel like a failure in every sense of the word in every realm we walk in. And so we revert to trying to find some success in one area. Maybe we make a great cup of coffee. Maybe we're a great parent. Maybe we're good at our job. And all of that is important. But sometimes we allow that to cover the insecurity, the inferiority, the sense of being a failure. That is not a word God ever uses for us, but is a word we use for ourselves. We did not reach yet what we thought we should and what we know we could. Mephibosheth was in line to be the king, and the rules changed. Saul and Jonathan were both killed, and David became king. The rules were changed. Church, some of us have been there where we had nothing to do with it, and someone moved the pieces on the board and changed the game entirely. Lord, I was next in line. Lord, I was preparing for that. Lord, I earned all these degrees to do this, and now I'm stuck doing that. Lord, my family was going this way, and now it's that way. things happened outside of Mephibosheth's control, things around him changed. Things within him changed. His nurse, his nanny, dropped him and caused an injury that forever changed his life. That's pretty unfair, don't you think? And in the kingdom of God, I mean, right? Israel, the nation of Israel, that's not only unfair, that's just wrong. God could have stopped that. Why did God allow that to happen? God did something and allowed something to happen to Mephibosheth that was absolutely uncalled for. Oh, I'm not going to answer the why question today because I can't. I promise sometime during eternity we'll get the answer. Here, we probably won't. But something not only happened outside of Mephibosheth, but something happened to him that was also not of his doing. He was still in every way an innocent child when his life was forever altered. But it gets worse. See, there's the line and the rules changed. There's his future and it's changed. But now there's a king that is not related to him. And it is the job of a king in that culture to eliminate any threat, to eliminate any possibility of someone else saying, I have claim to that. It's kind of like what bad lawyers do, Bill. Right? They make sure there's just no one else that can speak up. Bill's not a bad lawyer. We know that. There are a couple other ones somewhere in the world, though. It was the job of King David to eliminate Mephibosheth. Because someday, the five-year-old will grow up, and he'll come knocking on the door and say, hey, it was Saul and Jonathan, and now it's me. Read the playbook. And it was David's job if he was going to preserve his line. And didn't God even promise that David's family would be descendants on the throne forever? So it was David's job to kill Mephibosheth. And don't you think Mephibosheth and his people knew that? That's why he was in hiding. That's why he was gone, where nobody could find him. That's why you read that David finally discovers he's around. Whew. I don't know if you've ever been in hiding from God or other things. But there's always that sense of, I'm mostly okay, but I gotta every once in a while look over my shoulder. And if more than one bad thing has happened to you, we sang about, oh happy day. Listen, oh happy day kind of can filter in some, but it's still, oh on earth today. Oh happy day as a permanent state comes later. Filters in today. We don't have to have, oh, miserable day every day. But when more than one bad thing has happened to us and we're having a happy day, isn't there that 10% of us that goes, uh-oh, well, I really enjoyed today. Tomorrow's going to be bad. And so now Mephibosheth hears David's looking for him. That's the law. That's the rule. That's the way it should be. Bad stuff is looking for us. We're still stuck on earth, so bad stuff should get us. We violated the law. I'll give it to you biblically. We have violated the law of God. Every one of us, it's even in the scriptures, every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has missed the mark. Every one of us has violated the Ten Commandments. There has been a time in our life where we have put ourselves on the throne rather than God. We have not serve the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So therefore, bad has a right to come looking for us. That's the word of God. That's the law of God. And now we are Mephibosheth. I know you didn't come to church to hear all this part of it, right? But it's still there. Scroll down if you're reading an electronic Bible, or flip pages if you have one made out of paper, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Mephibosheth should be scared. King David's coming to kill him. Now I want you to have let your mind hold on to two different things. I want your mind to hold on to Mephibosheth and to David. One day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? That's not playing by the rules, David, is it? That's not playing by the law. Mephibosheth is not there when David says this. Mephibosheth is elsewhere. He summoned a man named Ziba, another great name. Someone should name their kid Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar, Ziba told him, at the home of Makar, son of Amiel. So David sent for him and brought him from Makar's house. His name was Mephibosheth, and he was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, they skipped the whole part in here. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. They skipped the whole part about what happens when Mephibosheth hears David's looking for him. Can David be trusted? Is this a ploy? What's going to happen next? But yet he has no choice. He's been summoned to the king's palace. He's been summoned to the throne room. Church, where I'm going with this morning is eventually God is going to summon us into his presence. And part of us is going to recite all the sins of our past, all the failings, all the doubt, all the fear, all the stuff, that's going to be reciting in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. And we're not going to want to go into the presence of God looking like we think we look. Mephibosheth is being summoned into the presence of David. He bows low to the ground in deep respect. And in his heart of hearts, he's got to be saying one of two things. Oh, please make it end quick, or oh, please have mercy on me. Will we believe today that our King will have mercy on us and not destroy us? That was the best Mephibosheth could hope for. Maybe he'll realize, I'm so crippled, I'm not a threat. Verse 7, don't be afraid. Quiz time. Where else do you hear someone start a greeting with those words? The angel of God, right? Where else? Gideon, another angel, or maybe Christ incarnate, precarnate. Don't be afraid. When people are encountering the holiness of God, how about the disciples when they're out fishing? Well, they weren't fishing, they were fearing because the boat was going to capsize, and then there's a ghost out taking a hike on the water. right? Jesus was doing his Memorial Day walk across the Sea of Galilee in the storm at night when it was, and what's he say? Don't be afraid. How many times does the Lord show up and his first words are, don't be afraid? Well, he didn't show up and say that to us today. Yes, he did. We need to wrestle through that fear to hear that voice. David says, don't be afraid. I intend to show you, to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. I'm not good enough. I'm giving you everything. I might get killed. You're going to stay in my presence as long as you want. But I'm crippled. But I loved your father. The word of the Lord through David to Mephibosheth is as true today as it was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Because Jesus, who is our friend, made a promise to my father and his father and said, I'll take all the punishment, I'll take all the suffering, I'll do all of that so that their sin can be removed, so that we can be in relationship, so all that has been promised can still be true. It may manifest today on May, whatever date it is, 26th. It may not manifest today. But I want to challenge us to move our eyes away from just what we see externally, just away from what we feel around us, away from how we feel inside, and lift our eyes to the very reality of how Jesus feels about us. We do this in everyday relationships. If it's someone we believe loves us, we interpret what they say one way. If it's someone we believe dislikes us, we can interpret those same set of words an entirely different way. If husbands and wives are feeling secure in their relationship, then where's the toothpaste isn't a big deal. If they're feeling insecure, then it's a big accusation, isn't it? Not because of who we are, but because of who he is, I want to challenge you to act as though you're secure in your relationship with God. Would you bow your heads with me today? There is something powerful in the culture about being invited to eat at the table of the king. And David repeats that to Mephibosheth. And for the rest of Mephibosheth's life, he is invited to eat at the table of the king. Wherever you're at today in your walk with God, that invitation is still there. Jesus doesn't have to die again to extend a new invitation. It's still there. And if you're here today and you've not even given God much thought, or you're angry at God this morning, or things aren't right, instead of hearing what you think about the matter, would you tune into what he thinks today? And he says to his servant delivering the message today, go call my children, my Mephibosheths, my chosen ones, and tell them to please come and enter my presence apart from fear. There's a lot that goes on in us, but the guilt and the shame and the insecurity and the fear are not God's design. He loves us through that anyway. I want you just in your own words to begin to allow the Holy Spirit of God to touch you today. Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Where else could we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, I know many in this room have walked through some challenges, and you have been faithful. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to live up to your standard. You loved down to us. I pray for freedom today. I pray for healing today. I pray for restoration today. I pray for release today. I pray in Jesus' name that the work of the Holy Spirit would bring healing. Let's stand. Would you all lead us in a song? And I'm going to stand around up here and maybe invite Jill to join me. If you would like us to pray with you, we're happy to do that. If you just want to find your own place of prayer, that's fine. If you just want to stay until the song's over and then go, that's fine too. But lead us in a song, please.